Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Well, welcome everyone to episode 33 of the Final Stop Final Fantasy Talk podcast. We left off last episode with, we went down to Mount Gulig, we challenged Kujo, Aurelia, Zorn, and Thorn, we found Hilda and all that. They came back to Limblum, and she finally changed Cid into a human. So that's where we left off. If you want to kind of start at the beginning of this, episode 6 is where you probably want to go at the very beginning of our Final Fantasy IX walkthrough. But for right now, we're going to go ahead and continue on. So the next kind of little scene that we ended up at was, we're like in that guest room, right, in Limblum. Yeah. And, there's really only kind of one thing to do in here. I mean, after Zidane has his amazing dream where he thinks that Dagger's calling out to him and he's all excited. And then, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh, it's a guard. You know, I'm sure that was quite the disappointment for him. But, you know, once you give a control, there's one thing to do, right?
Yeah, pretty much just go say what's up to Mogki, the Moogle, again. And they've got a new letter, and this one's to Kamul. So, anyways, other than that, the guard pretty much lets you know that Lady Hilda is waiting at the conference room with the rest of the gang and all that. So you just head on over there and get some Kuja updates.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much just go to the conference room. You know, she fills it in. Steiner leaves right off the bat, and we're kind of going to be jumping around here because the scene does, like, stop and pause a lot during this conference and go to some other things. But Steiner realizes that Dagger is not there, right? So he's like, oh, I got to go find the princess. And, you know, Hilda continues on anyways. Obviously, we don't need Rusty and the princess of all people. We don't need them to be there, I guess. But regardless, she kind of expands a little bit more on what she already told us on how, you know, Kuja always does his monologue. He always just talks to himself. Yeah. You know, she doesn't even have to ask any questions. It's like, whatever, dude. I'm just going to keep knitting over here. You go ahead and keep doing whatever you're doing. And we find out some very serious, concrete details now about him, finally.
Yeah, exactly. So as it turns out, he openly told her that he's not even of this world.
Yeah.
You know, the planet that we're on really is Gaia. And so he's not of this world. And basically, the gist of it was that he ultimately wants to use this world to get a power strong enough to topple Garland.
Right.
And what that really boils down to is we've seen how he's trying to capture and use the power of the Eidolons.
Yeah.
Like kind of what we saw with the Aoife tree and at Alexandria and things like that. He calls upon the Eye in the Sky to sort of entrance them and get them on his side. But then after the series of events, after beating Melty, Gemini, and Mount Gulag, he saw the power of trance and what it did to Mog. So now he's looking at a different kind of power.
Yeah. And through that too, we kind of figure out where he's going. There's mention of the Shimmering Isle and how that's kind of the link between the two worlds. And we know that he went to, what is it, the Forgotten Continent, I guess, whatever one it is, on the west side, and to somewhere named Ibsen's Castle. And so that's kind of what we're at. We need to find him. You know, again, we're bouncing around here. So, right, where is Dagger, right? So we have, he goes to kind of like a forced ATE type of deal, which... Hey, what are those? We don't even know what those are anymore. We never get them, literally ever.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It was a huge part of the game, and then it kind of just stopped. Regardless, it shows Steiner, and he's in the theater district, right? And he's, of course, looking all over the city, and, you know, here we go. Bam, 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 bam. You know, we got the Tantalus group, finally. It's a great track, of course, so anytime you hear it, you instantly know you're about to see some strange-looking fellows. You know, so right, it comes across them, and, you know, here we are. Steiner just cannot let bygones be bygones. He cannot give over the fact that they kidnapped the princess, I don't know, 15 years ago at some point, it seems like, right now. They're like, oh, what's up, man? And he's just still holding on to his negative views, man.
Yeah, exactly. This is kind of a point in the game where Steiner sort of completes his character arc, so to speak, where, yeah, at the very beginning, he's still thinking that they're plotting something. He's still thinking that they're gonna try and kidnap the princess and all that kind of stuff. Well, it turns out, they're like, well, what are you up to, man? Do you need any help? Can we help you out anyway? He tells them that he's looking for a dagger, and they're like, well, we know this place like the back of our hand. We'll help you out. And this is where he's like, why do you want to help me? You know what I mean? I haven't really been that nice to you, all of this kind of stuff. But he's starting to realize that it's not all what it seems to be, basically, with them, right? Like, they do have a good side and they do want to help out, so.
And so there you go, right? He progresses. It seems that he has finally accepted it. We'll see. I don't know. He'll probably come across him once again and be like, "Oh, you guys are gonna steal the princess?" It's just like his theme track when he sees those guys. But
Exactly.
regardless, they're looking now for the princess as well. And at some point during this too, it kind of goes to a little Cid scene now too, where he's, human, obviously. He's walking into the airship blueprint area or whatever it is,
Airship
and they're
dock,
like, "Oh, Cid, you're a human again." He's like, "Listen up, boys, okay? I got this blueprint in my head. Just do what I say, and we're gonna build this airship, all right? We have to get on point here." And so
Let's do it.
We know that's kind of going on. That's where he let he wasn't there for Hilda's little meeting. He left, and so
Apparently, he couldn't think correctly when he was an Oglop or something like, I don't know. Now he can think clearly as a human.
And so it's just so strange.
It is.
Continuing on, Zidane, he gets involved in the search as well. I guess essentially what they look through the entirety of Lum Blum, realize that
Yeah, they
dagger
go
is
through
not
the
there.
telescope.
And
Exactly.
so they, he's like, "Oh, I think I know where she's at." And so it kind of goes to Alexandria now, and it shows a point. And it starts off with a little funny scene with Cinna kind of, I don't know, exerting his will onto the troop of Zanero, Gennaro, and Bonero.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that there's a pecking order here, huh? There's like, it probably goes like blank, Marcus, Cinna, and then Cinna. The only people he can boss over are Zanero, Gennaro, and Bonero. So
Absolutely.
they were searching in the wrong area. We already searched over there, Just trying to
Geez.
boss him around.
Absolutely. And they didn't appreciate it too much, but hey, maybe they deserve that. But it then goes to Zidane. He's kind of like outside of the front of the castle near the water where you can take that little boat. And apparently they've searched all around Alexandria and they can't find Dagger still. And lo and behold, here comes back Baku, and he's like, "Boss, you seen Dagger?" He's like, "Nope, but I did see that chick." And classic Zidane, it's pretty funny because instantly you kind of see he perks up a little bit, like, "Ooh, like, what do you mean by that chick?" And Baku walks off, and so of course, he follows Baku, and we're at this, I don't know, we're at a different kind of screen where, we're on like this bridge and it kind of overlooks some things. And then here comes, Roses of May song, which is absolutely fantastic. So instantly that it's Beatrice. It's just a It's a strange little scene, man. I don't understand this. I know that they're trying to, I guess, be fun and witty still with it, trying to show they haven't lost that touch, but it's like a hide and seek game.
It's like a now you see me, now you don't kind of thing where you see Beatrix on the one of the docks down the lower part by the water, and then she's sitting there and she does like a little she just kind of stands there for a second. Zidane runs down there to go and try and find her, and she immediately walks away. And apparently this is what's so funny, they don't like cross each
Oh,
other's
never.
paths in the
Absolutely
hallway or
not.
something. He goes down there, she's gone, then you see her on like another. It's this whole thing of like they're trying to find each other and they can't find each other or something.
This is like a classic cartoon thing, where they're walking in through different doors, open up doors, and no one can find each other until eventually she does go to the bridge with Baku, and she's like, "You're Baku, right?" And he's like, "Oh, what's up?" Zane runs up and it's like, "I can't find. Oh, hey, there you are." And so they have a little discussion, and it's pretty interesting because she does kind of break it down for Dagger. She's like, "How is she?" And honestly, she shouldn't really see Alexandria like this. You can imagine what it is. I'm sure she's the queen, so I'm sure take responsibility. At the same time, what were you gonna do against, a giant Eidolon battle? And then
Yeah,
and
exactly.
but still, she kind of basically just says, like, "Hey, she's probably at the resting place. Just go talk to her, She also gives a garnet to give to Dagger, which is kind of a little interesting thing because Dagger's name definitely isn't Princess Garnet or anything.
Right. And it just so happens to teach Dagger one of her best Eidolons in the game, Bahamut.
Yes.
Which is just amazing. So thank you for that, Beatrix.
Which on that note, though, I mean, wasn't he defeated? I mean, so what? They can be, yeah, you know, killed and then just resummoned anyway. So, you know, like, why didn't Kuja just summon Bahamut again? You know, I mean, he got destroyed. Yeah. Just keep summoning him over and over and over. I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, because the way it was before, remember, like, back in the beginning of Disc 3 when Dr. Tot gives Dagger all of the gems that
right.
contain the Eidolons. So, yeah, it's kind of a good point. It's almost like Bahamut was defeated, but then he's also, they're also still able to capture it in the gem or something. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
Who knows? I need answers. No, it's all right.
Yeah, right.
But we will continue on to figure out if Dagger is finally at this resting place. But before we do that, let's do our bold move. All right, so bold moves, man. I'm going to go ahead and start us off. My bold move goes to a man in Final Fantasy XII. He's a judge. Well, that's not saying much. It seems like literally everyone is a judge in that game. Oh, you're a judge? Hey, I'm a judge too. You were a judge?
Yeah,
yeah, I'm
a
judge.
To be a judge.
Hey, you're a judge?
I was a judge 5 years ago.
I was a judge. Everyone's judges is what you find out. But regardless,
I'm a judge.
It goes to Judge Geese, and it was a very bold move of him to test out the Nethesites in the Leviathan's engines, which of course is like the giant, you know, airship. He's like, oh, I'm not going back home without knowing this is true. Nethesite. They don't remember Nabu Dis. Why does no one remember Nabu Dis? I mean, you know, it's only told to us all the time. Remember Nabu Dis, you know?
Which Bosch is always talking about it.
Exactly. Then, of course, you know, it just keeps going. But regardless, you know, they knew what happened there, and yet he tested his engines, and lo and behold, it was true Nethesite, and it destroys the ship. Great job, man.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, it's driving Fran crazy. She's over there going, the mist.
It burns. It escapes out of the handcuffs and starts karate chopping. And anyways, that's a side note. But what you got?
All right. Well, so this week, going back to Final Fantasy VII, one of my favorite games. I'm sure a lot of you guys probably feel the same way on that too. But you know, something that always struck me with the part when you return back to Corel with Barret and you learn a little bit more about his backstory and stuff. I find it kind of a bold move that all of the townspeople, and Dine included, blame him and only him for everything that happened. Yeah. Even though, you know, when you get to the flashback, you find out that, like, pretty much everybody except Dine was all for the Shinra Mako reactor getting
broken. Right, right.
So it was just kind of funny, like, it's messed up. They
scapegoat,
all just
man.
Exclusively blame him, and it's like, okay, cool.
You know, they're just jealous that he was able to get a gun arm. And they're like, you know what? It's your fault, man.
Seriously.
Yes.
They're hating.
Haters. Haters get a hate. But, all right, well, those are our bold moves. And let's continue on to see if we can finally find Dagger. All right, so really honestly, when we hear resting place, we kind of think of, you know, when Queen Braun died, and that we kind of had that short little scene with the wreath and stuff with Dr. Tot and Dagger. And so that's where Zidane goes, and hey, she's finally there. And he's like, coming up, yo, what up, girl? And she's like, Zidane. It's like, oh, you can finally talk, you know? Oh, when do we know?
Yeah, finally, after how long has it been since pretty much, the destruction of Alexandria, have been dealing with Dagger. Dagger can't concentrate in battle constantly.
No, she's thinking about the destruction, man. It's like, oh, you definitely don't have Ark in front of you or anything. You might want to just cast a spell. No? Okay.
Seriously.
But regardless, yes. So you find that there's a short little scene. They kind of talk about it a little bit, you know, and stuff like that. He makes a really bad example to her of like, oh, I'm trying to even remember what it was. Oh, the stone, right? He's like, you know, the stone made a
stone.
There was a rock, and it made a wish to be beautiful and shiny, and it got, you know, it's just it did not work for the scene. Not
I
only
feel
that
like,
though, but he like dude, he like tosses this garnet to her, like, you know, just alley oops it. It's like, dude, that's a freaking huge priceless gem. What are you doing, man? Here, honey.
They're not just.
You want to marry me? Catch the ring.
How about that for a proposal? Catch. Seriously, though. Man, yeah, I feel like they were trying to go for, like, that analogy of sort of like a rock becoming polished. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand what you're saying, where it didn't quite work out because he was making the analogy seem like a regular rock just turned into a garnet.
Poof. Yeah.
It's like, that's not exactly how that works. Either it's a gem to begin with or it's not a gem at all.
Yeah.
But, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
But it made a wish, so yeah.
Yes. And but regardless, you know, they more conversation. We can't remember exactly what, but she wants the dagger that, you know, if you remember way back when she changed her name to Dagger, she's like, you know, do you still have it? Can I have that? Dude,
steal it.
I just can't get over this. Like, he doesn't give it to her. She takes it off him and starts doing like some flips with it and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing? You use rackets and rods. You don't know how to use daggers. Like, how did you instantly just become, like, a weapon master, you know? She's, like, gonna get some nunchucks next or something.
She's about to start, like, knife throwing pretty much at targets and stuff like that. You know what I mean? She's like...
She throws the garnet up in the air and goes, whooshing, and, like, hits it, you know?
No, I got two garnets.
Yes.
basically, you know... She used the dagger last time she made a big decision. She's like, this is the next big decision I'm going to make. So you get a nice little FMV. She walks off to the end of the pier overlooking Alexandria Castle, which is being rebuilt. And she just goes ahead and, like, chops off 75% of her hair.
Haircut just time. Like the reason why she couldn't concentrate, she was in an internal struggle. Should I cut my hair or not? You know, that's what it was this whole time, I guess. It is a really cool cinematic. I mean, it really is with the haircut, and not only that, because then it continues on and it kind of shifts back to Limblum, and here we go. The airship's coming on out. It's already ready, and it's like, okay, how long have they been searching for? Like, I know that they used, you know, constructed parts and stuff. Shit talks about using the Blue Narciss ship as a whole and stuff. I understand that, but still, this thing got built in, like, I don't know, let's just say a week. That's insane, man.
For real. I mean, like, it almost seemed like that was all happening in one day since the conference room, you know what I mean? It's hard to tell in a Final Fantasy game exactly what the timeline is, but...
Yes.
Yeah, seriously, they just got it done in, like, a day or something like that. They're just like, all right, yeah, we already had the plans. We just got
Dude,
it
it's,
done.
It's the power of Sid Mein. He is like, what's his IQ, man? Apparently it's like 400. He's like, oh, yeah, you just do this and that, you know, no big deal.
Yep.
That was the
he's not skirt chasing.
Yeah. Yeah, remove skirts from his mind and, you know, threaten him with the hedgehog pie and he finally gets business done is what it is. But
yeah, seriously.
So after that, I can't remember, there's a little extra, but in the end, you get into the airship and we have, you know, Aaron, the card master and pilot, she's there and, you know, all the other characters are there you can go and talk to and all that stuff. But once you do fly around, you get to select your party and, well, here we go. Open world again. So I hope you're all not sick of all this, you know, side quest stuff. But we're going to almost finish it all off right here and now. You know, that's like kind of, I think that's like the little difference with 9, right? Is you really can knock out big chunks as you go on. It's not all left at the very end. Like it, you know, usually is for a lot of the other Final Fantasies. And so once you do decide to go ahead and start flying out, we're going to go ahead and just, we're going to go down the list. Obviously, you do it any order, don't do it, it's whatever, it's up to you. We're supposed to go to Ibsen's Castle, and we'll get to it, don't worry. But for this rest of the episode, we're going to knock out all this side stuff. So first and foremost, go catch some frogs if you really want. You know, I mean, that's just kind of something that, if you really want to get the best fork or you really want to increase frog drops damage to max, you know, this, it's just something you're going to have to do. And it's best to kind of just go a little bit. And especially now it's really easy to, you know, just go to all the marshes.
Yeah, exactly. You have access to all of them at this point. So, you know, you just kind of got to basically wait for once you do your catching there, give it a certain amount of time to regenerate, and then just continue on doing that, and ultimately trying to get up to 99, which is the final, but we'll leave that till later.
Well, some of these things we will talk about at the end, right? But next thing you can do is, we did talk about the friendly monster Feather Circle last time, and if you did do that, you have the next one you can go do. It's the Garuda, and that is way back, if you think back to Gizmoluk's Grotto, where the Moogles were. You may have returned to turn in the Koopa nuts. Hopefully you're not still doing it, because it's kind of a waste of time. But we had that little vine, in which at that time, and we warned you guys, it's very dangerous to go out there. Well, that is where you do want to go now. And I believe you have to go in the forest, and the friendly Garuda will be there, and it wants the Lapis Lazuli, and it will give you a diamond in 40 AP. So,
Oh,
once again,
man.
that AP is stacking up.
Yeah, seriously. Yep, and the friendly Garuda, so this is less dangerous this time around because we've already talked about the Grand Dragon, and there's you're at a level now where you should be able to take that guy out. And the Garudas we already encountered in Estogaza, so they're also not really that big of a deal. But aside from that, there's a really, really cool little side quest thing to do, and we posted a picture of this on Instagram and you guys loved it. It's a really cool scene. So grab Vivi and Kina in your party and then head back over to Quan's dwelling. You get a nice little scene, huh?
Yes, and I have literally never seen this until I just did it. It's so, man, I love it. It's hysterical. Obviously, we've been at Quan's dwelling. If you've been following us and listening, we've been there multiple times. And once you kind of get back into, I guess, like the living quarters or the kitchen or whatever it's supposed to be, it takes over with a little scene. And Kina got into some bad mushrooms, and she is just seeing some things here, man. It's like a massive feast where there's all kinds of food. I mean, it's from top to bottom. It is so awesome. My favorite thing is the giant wine cask that is just popped open and pouring nonstop wine into this
Non-stop wine.
giant wine glass. And it's just great, because she's just going and she's eating it all. She's like, going over there,
No, there's so much funny stuff too. I was really looking at it. There's like sushi in the middle. There's a giant cake. If you look up to the upper left corner, there's like looks like some fish sort of like drying or something like that. It's just really
Was it
funny
rock
that they
fisted stew?
draw. I'm sure there's some oglobs and things like that you could probably see, but the whole thing is so funny. Kina's just like, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And the interesting thing here is, once the vision ends, or the hallucination, whatever it is, and Zhang's just like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "See, it's like you've just been running back and forth, So obviously he did not see this, and it's kind of explained a little bit. It's the meaning kind of is not so clear here, but if you just continue through, because I think you're given control, I believe if you go to like where the clock is, where the kind of outside section. It starts with another scene where we finally see Quan, and what he is. He's there. It's been talked about a lot. Vivi's talked about Grandpa and all that stuff, but we've never actually seen him. And he's there, and Kina is having a discussion with him. And essentially, what it is like, she was able to see all that stuff because she's using her imagination, because she has traveled through the world and seeing all these different things. And as he's explaining that, we have Quail come on in, and he did not know that bigot, but apparently he did.
Yeah, apparently Quan was actually Quail's master. So everything's all coming full circle with this. If you remember back to Disc One, like Mark just said, he didn't know that bigot, etc., etc. But it's really interesting because Quan's really talking about, the true art, or like mastering the art of food is really in your imagination and things like that. It's kind of funny. It's a really good scene. And so it also kind of goes back a little bit to Vivi, where he talks to Vivi and he's like, "You haven't grown at all," and
It's
all of
like,
this kind of
"Vivi,
stuff.
you haven't grown at all." And he kind of talks about too, like, Vivi's here, and he's talking about it, and he's like, "Well, you've learned because I've taught you how to use your imagination, essentially. And so all this happens, and the scene ends, you know, and it poor Zidane sit there, and he's like, you're all just crazy, man. Like, who are you guys talking to? And so that's the kind of interesting thing, is that apparently Zidane, through all of his travels and all this stuff, he doesn't know how to use his imagination. And so...
Yeah, they even say that where, you know, Kwan kind of like... He kind of was through their imagination, I guess, because he kind of like disappears or something.
Yes.
And yeah. And then basically Keenan was just like, what, you couldn't see him, Zidane? And he's like, you guys were just talking in the thin air. He's like, oh, you got much learning to do.
Yeah. Zane it.
Yeah.
But the kind of big deal here is that after all of that happens, you can go to the grandfather clock and you will find a pair of running shoes, which... we think is the first one, right, since Tantarian. So if you never did get them from Tantarian because you didn't defeat them, this would be the first time that you're able to get auto haste, which is just, it really puts it in perspective, man. If you defeated Tantarian that very first time, you have had these forever, you know, compared to just now getting them.
Yeah, exactly. And running shoes are really, aside from, you know, the auto ability, which is just one of the best in the game, they are... pretty difficult to synthesize later in the game, so you really want to get this one. And I don't think this is missable either, so even in disc 4 you can get this.
Come back, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, some other things is we could finally finish off the chocographs. So thankfully we don't have very many to get through this time. So at this point, you will be able to find the rest of the chocograph pieces. So that's the first step. You need to do that. So they're at both the lagoon and the forest, and hopefully you don't have a glitch like I did, if it was in fact a glitch, where, you know, I found the last piece, as it turned out, at the forest. But he didn't say anything to me, you know? He's supposed to be like, hey, there, Choco says there's nothing else here. He didn't say that. So I just kept doing it for another 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, you know what? Let me just go to the lagoon. And I did so, and I found the other two pieces. And it's like, what the heck, man? I could have been there for hours.
Yeah, and I guess I was having that same issue too for a minute. And I think sometimes it can glitch out when you're trying to get them before you have the airship or something like that.
Gotcha.
That's what I read online, so,
yeah, well,
kind of weird.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen to you, and or just, you know, seriously, if you don't find anything after like 10 minutes, switch over, and you'll find them pretty quickly. And so there are 6 pieces total. Once you get that, it unlocks, or rather, it gives you the number 20 Chocograph Mist Ocean, and essentially that just gives you the last upgrade for Choco, which is flying. So that is really cool. You're essentially able to go to literally anywhere on the map now. You could go to Chocobo's Paradise right now, but we are going to leave that till Disc 4 just because there's not really as much to do right now. I mean, you could go after you find all the Chocographs and there'd be more, but we're just going to leave that later for now. So we're not going to talk about that. But what we are going to talk about is how you can now go into Chocobo's Air Garden, in which we would probably just recommend just Google where it's at, because there's like, I think, 5 different locations. It's essentially, you may have even seen it before this, you know, it's just like kind of a black circle on the open world. And once you do get to it, you just have to use a dead pepper and up you go.
Yeah, exactly. You'll just see like this this big old shadow on the ground occasionally. Yeah. And like what you just said, there's certain set locations. It does move around once you see it. Like, for example, if you save your game and then restart it, it's gonna be at one of those predetermined locations. Yeah.
And then the good thing is, once you do go to the Air Garden the first time, it will then be on your map afterwards. And so you won't have to search for it when you go back. But we'll just knock these out real quick. You will be able to get the last 4 Chocographs at the Air Garden. Right off the bat, Chocograph number 21 is called Outer Island. This one, among the other, you know, small things we won't kind of discuss, but you get Genji armor in Ragnarok. So pretty good pieces there.
Awesome weapon. I think that one comes with Shock, if I'm not mistaken, which is obviously one of the best abilities in the game for Steinhardt. It's crazy.
As we well know, yeah. The next one, number 22, is a very creative name. It's Outer Island 2. And, you know, you get pumice pieces, which we'll get to what those importance of those are later. But then you get the circlet and Hildegard 3 card. And the circlet, I think, is, along with another one here in the moment, is, I think, a couple of the best headpieces for casters.
I think it actually is the best headpiece with, like, the highest magic defense you can get.
Okay, cool.
Number 23, Fairy Island. Now, this one is, you'll notice it's like an island with sort of a pyramid shaped sort of mountain. Be real careful on this one because there are some incredibly difficult random encounters here that we'll talk about later in Disc 4. But regardless of that, you get Holy Mitre and a Dark Matter card, which is really awesome.
And then we just got that last one, number 24. It's Forgotten Island. You will get another ribbon, which, they're pretty good, and another Rebirth Ring, which obviously Auto Life, and the last one, Arc Card, which is again another good card. So you got a couple more really good cards, and that is it. So that's all of the Chocographs. Of course, at this point, you could go kill Ozma, not because you're probably only like mid-30s, like I am, but that'd be pretty fun to see.
Yeah.
Of course,
I
we'll
know we
talk
might
about
try
that.
like a low level one.
Yeah, we'll talk about that disc four, of course. And yes, so there are a couple extra places that we can go to and do some things, but before we do that, let's do our seed trivia. All right, well, Alex is going to continue his streak, probably. I don't know. He's on his rank 28 quiz. He's been winning them lately. Let's see if I can stump him this time. So, right off the bat, man, here we go. Final Fantasy XII, the Matriarch Bomb rare game is a, well, it's a rare, and it's found in the Paramina Rift.
True.
Final Fantasy VIII, the oil boils. Which, of course, among other places, can be found at the bottom of Balam Garden. They are immune to water.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Okay. Next question isn't going to be in Final Fantasy X. Of course, lightning dodges, there are some great rewards, but if you get 100 of them, you will get 3 strength spheres.
That is true, I believe.
Next question, Final Fantasy XIII. So, concerning synthesis groups for weapons and gear, Adamancy is a synthesis group that returns a percentage of damage dealt as healing for the character. So, Fain attacks, she will be healed for a percentage of her attack damage.
Oh man. It's been such a long time since I played that one. I think that's false.
Final Fantasy X-2. Concerning the little Cactars you can go and find, Aerio is the one that's with Donna at Killica.
False.
Final Fantasy VII, Super Shot ST is found at the Ancient Forest.
True.
Well, all right, Final Fantasy IX, last one. When you turn in 12 Stellazio coins, you will get 30,000 gil.
That's true.
All right, let's recap here, man. All right, Final Fantasy XII, it was the whole Matriarch Bomb is found at the Paramina Rift. You said true, and it is false. It is actually at the Still Shrine of Miriam. After, what, all like 90 of them, you gotta memorize where
Yeah,
they're at.
seriously.
All right, Final Fantasy VIII, oil boils are immune to water. That is true, and you said true, so that makes sense. I mean, if you know anything about oil, and it doesn't quite work with water. The next question, Final Fantasy X. The 100 lightning dodges gets you 3 strength spheres. You said true, and it's false. It is
Oh.
HP spheres. Yeah, it's the 50
No.
dodges gets you this 3 strength. So, Final Fantasy XIII, the whole Adamancy is a synthesis group, and it returns a percentage of damage as heals. You said false, and it is true. It does. It's a whopping 1%, which,
Man,
doesn't seem
I
like
didn't even
much,
know.
but it certainly adds up in millions of health. And so, all right,
Interesting.
man. You missed 3 so far. Let's see how it goes. All right, Final
No.
Fantasy X-2. The Aerio is the Cactar with Donna at Killica. You said false, and it is false. The one with Donna is Barshella. Because why wouldn't you name a Cactar Barshella?
Archella.
All right, Final Fantasy VII. You said this instantly. Pretty much, Super Shot ST is found in Ancient Forest. That is true, and you said true, so that's good. And the last one, we have Final Fantasy IX. The whole 12 Stellazio coins gets you 30,000 gil. You said true, and it's false. You get the robe of lords.
Man.
Womp, womp, womp. Sorry, man. Failed. I finally...
That's tough.
You're on another win streak there. So we finally stopped him. So you still have your rank 27. It's just the way it goes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right. Well, Alex is stumped this time. I'm sure he'll just pass the next 25 like he usually does. And let's continue on with Final Fantasy IX. All right, so probably the biggest kind of little place that you can go to now that's available is a place that we both love, and that is Daguerreo. And so this place is really amazing, man. We both love the track. I know that. It is just such a peaceful track. It's so, I don't know, it seriously is. It's like soothing and calm, and it fits the place really, really well.
Yeah, it's a really slow pace, like guitar theme, and then you've got the got like the water in the background and everything. This place is like all about the water. It is a really nice place, perfect for like a library. I mean, aside from it being real humid and stuff like that,
I imagine. Right?
But so as far as exploration of this place goes, you can head off to the right side first. You've kind of got like you can go straight forward, you can go down these steps to the right.
Yeah,
and you'll find the Capricorn Stellazio in that corner right there.
Yeah, essentially. Anyways. Well, just go straight to the right, first ride, and just search. You'll find it.
Pretty much.
But if you do kind of progress to the next screen on that right side, there's a familiar face that you can talk to. It's the four-armed man, of all people. That dude gets around, and it's kind of an interesting thing here. So if you talk to him, he'll give a little bit more of information about himself, how he's a famous treasure hunter, you know, and all this, but he's not going to tell you his name. And it's like, okay, dude, we didn't ask. We already know your name. It's Four-Armed Man, okay? And he will assign you a treasure hunter score. So that's kind of an interesting thing. And it has some pretty hilarious responses if your score is not so good.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, if it's like the lowest, then he's like, you loser, don't even talk to me. I think mine was like rank C or something, and he's just basically like, that's okay, I guess, but
yeah,
it's pretty funny.
Yeah, and mine was B, and he said it's pretty good, and so obviously it goes then to A, and S is the top, and we will get to that in disc 4. And that's kind of the other thing, I guess, here too. There is distinct differences at this area between now and disc 4. So if, you know, you're thinking we missed some things when we're going through, well, we didn't. It's just not there yet. That might be a disc 4 thing you're thinking of.
And one other real quick thing I wanted to say about the Four-Armed Man too that's kind of cool is if you guys are playing cards, he plays a lot of unique ship cards. Like, he only plays exclusively like Cargo Ship, Blue Narcissus, Hildegard. But he can even play cards like Red Rose. He can even occasionally bust out Invincible and stuff.
Oh, so that's pretty cool.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, cards. We haven't forgotten about it. So we will get back to it on disc 4 as well. Some of the few last things. But yes, that plays its role into that. And so you could take the little lift. The synthesis shop is right there. We're going to pause on that, and we're going to come back to that a little bit. So if you just kind of progress to essentially like an upper balcony area, there's a pile of books right there right when you go through the door. Go ahead and just explore it, I guess. Look at it. Interact with it. It'll come into play here in a moment. But the next little thing along that, if you keep walking, is there's a sales clerk, which is just basically an item shop. So if you need items, there you go. But the item shop person, sales clerk, and the young man is his name right there. They're kind of having like a debate here about some different things. So it's kind of an interesting thing here. They will pose like three scenarios. I can't remember exactly what each one is. But as you progress, and then essentially you are given the option to side with either the sales clerk or the young man. And with three questions, obviously you have to side with one of them more than the other. And that's going to determine some rewards here.
Yep, exactly. So basically the way this works is if you agree with the young man, you get the flare card. And if you agree with the sales clerk's point of view, you get the meteor card. Now, I think they're pretty much equivalent in terms of their power. I mean,
Right.
obviously, there's like some variance when you get the card based on the number of arrows, and they're,
True,
you know,
yeah.
depends. But yeah, I think they're pretty much the same, but regardless, really good cards too. So if you're looking, to win more games, that's a good way of getting a nice card.
Yes. So there's something we did pass up was on the bottom level, right up the bottom, if you just went straight, there is an Aquamarine Maker, which is kind of interesting, but you can basically convert four ore into one Aquamarine, and you can just keep doing it over and over. And so if you have max ore, like I do in my game, because of all that darn chocobo hunting I've done, I've got so many ore. You can basically convert them to Aquamarine. You know, ore is used now to craft different things. We'll get to that essentially in a moment as well. But you know, the purpose of doing that would essentially just to be to get more Aquamarine, right? To boost the damage of that summon, which I what is it, Leviathan? I would imagine.
And you can kind of focus on one, I guess, that you want to use the most because. Because we'll get to a synthesis shop later where you can get pretty much synthesize all of the gems
Right.
and boost up whichever one you want. So, you know, Leviathan is a cool summon and it's also a powerful one. So if you get
Yeah.
up to like 19 or 20 of those, it's going to do a lot more damage.
Yep. And let's see, still in the upper balcony. So if you do go all the way to the left, it's kind of like an inn. Some dude will let you sleep in a hammock, you know, so that's cool. And then there's also like some old grandpa, man. He's holding a book and I don't know, he's searching for a book or something. And that's what kind of ties into that book pile you interacted with. So you will then be prompted and you'll have the option to be like, hey, it's over there. And so he leaves. And that's important because he was kind of blocking a little path. That if you go down, now you're kind of like in the secondary balcony area, and there's an interesting guy that is his name is Guy Doing Research, and you know, he talks about some stuff. I can't remember too much about what it is, but if you have a naming weight card in your inventory, he will do something quite interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of funny because I did this the other day and he's just like, it's like inspiring to him or something to see the naming
Yes.
way card. And he's like, all right, well, let me rename one of your party members. And it just gives you
Yeah.
like a list of all of your party members. You can rename them whatever you want, or you can just decline and just, you know, walk
Right.
away from the dude. Because it's like, I didn't want to rename any of them. He's
Yeah.
like, oh, yeah, sorry, dude. You're gonna have to do that on somebody else, I guess, but.
Also on that balcony is an elixir if you just keep going, so that's there. And then now we kind of need to go to the left side of this whole area. If you go to it on that second level, you will be able to talk to the weaponsmith dude, but he's talking about how he can't get supplies, and so he won't actually open his shop yet. You know, obviously, going the right way, like the right path that we went to get up there, that's just too much work for these suppliers, man. They don't want to take that roundabout way, even though it's like, we got up there. What do you mean you can't get your supplies, man? Like, hello, we're here right now. So no one is willing to bring you supplies, just taking it a little extra route.
Yeah, seriously. But anyways, there's this whole little thing that you can do where if you go down to that bottom level and you'll see there's kind of like these three pillars and there's these three levers that you can select. I think the left or the right one, right? And it raises them up in different ways and things like that.
Pull the left lever twice and then examine the hole, put the rod in the hole, and
Yep.
then pull the right lever twice and then boom, it works. So
Yeah, it's
at
super
that
confusing,
very,
but
very strange random kind of puzzle, quote unquote, if you will. But you know, yeah, whatever. Once you do get that lift working though, that's when the weaponsmith dude's like, yo, thanks, man. And then here you go. Now you can blow all of your gil.
yeah, and this dude has tons of awesome equipment. I will note too, a lot of this stuff, we'll talk about this just before we go to a certain location soon here, but a lot of this stuff will become unavailable at a certain point of the game. So,
Yes.
especially for the weapons, they're not going to be useful in synthesis, but they will be useful for just the abilities.
Abilities. Yeah. And on that note, starting right off the bat, you can buy Tiger Fangs. It's a steep 13,000 gil, but
Whew.
it has revive on it. Obviously, that's for, or not obviously, but Tiger Fangs is like a glove and it's for Amaranth, right? And revive, though, which just continues to make him a pretty useful person. I mean, it's sure, you can use Phoenix Downs and all that, but, you know, hey, you got an ability that I think gives you more health than his Phoenix Down does, so that's pretty cool. You can get Defense Gloves, which, if you don't have all the Genji stuff, this will be the best so far. If you have all the Genji stuff, none of the heavy armor kind of stuff is going to be better, but, again, and we'll let you know, it's missable, you know, and so there's that. The Coronet, though, this is a pretty interesting one because it's got Return Magic on it, which is that's a pretty sweet ability.
That one's pretty cool. You've also got the Diamond Helm, Diamond Armor, Demon's Vest. You can buy the Obelisk and the Rune Blade and all these kinds of things. So I said a minute ago that, you know, a lot of the weapons aren't using synthesis. There is one that you want to really stock up on, and that is the Zorlin Shape. Because once you get to Disc 4, that's a component for Sargentanis, again, and Masamune. So you want to get a whole bunch of those, but that's, as far as the weapons go, that's pretty much the only one that you want to get, you know, multiple of, like maybe four or five or something. But
yeah, and we'll go into more detail of exactly what is about to become unavailable, I think, either.
Yeah, we'll...
next couple episodes or so, but essentially, yeah, you want to kind of stock up on some things. Other things, you just want to get one for the ability, kind of like we just said. So, to the synthesis shop, though. So, if you do go there, as Alex just mentioned, you can now finally synthesize another weapon for Zidane that is finally worthwhile, and that is that Sargentanis. And so, I don't think the ability, it's just annoy, I think, is what it is. So, it doesn't really have any new abilities on it, but it's just, you know, it's obviously better. I think it has like mid 50s attack power or something like that.
Yeah, and if you equip add status, it can inflict petrify too, which is pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet. You can also do a whole bunch of new robes. So Glutton's robes, obviously that's going to be for Vivi because he eats so much. No, it's for Kina, right? And so it's just some better robes.
Almost had me.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the light robes as we got from the Chocographs, they are going to be the best ones thus far. And so, you know, just kind of keep that in mind. But you can now also synthesize white and black robes, which, you know, those are really good by themselves if you haven't gotten them yet.
Yeah, and also, I mean, aside from just the defense values and increase the magic, the white robe teaches Ico Holy, which is sick. I mean, as one of the best abilities in the game. Same with the black, well, not same, but the black robes can teach Vivi Flare as well. Which, again, it's just like, you get that now, it'll make things a lot easier.
Yeah, you got some good abilities. And so that's there. Another new accessory for us are Battle Boots, which if you did happen to get 45 frogs at this point, you would have been rewarded with that. And so it's a pretty good one. I don't think it has any particularly amazing abilities on it that you haven't been able to get so far, but they are just, you know, very, very high strength boots, essentially, is what it is. And then something else that you can synthesize if you want are Thief Gloves, but it might be a little bit cheaper just to go to the auction house, right?
Yep. I actually had that too. I did it the other day. I think I got them for 35,000.
Yeah.
So that, I know that sounds like a lot to you guys, but normally, the Thief's Gloves, and these don't ever become missable, so don't feel like you have to get them now.
Right.
But they're 50,000, which is so crazy. Insane.
And then, of course, as we kind of just mentioned a little before, you can now synthesize most of the gems. And so, you know, again, if you just want to boost those particular summons damage, that's, you know, an option for you. And that's it for Daguerreo right now. The rest of the stuff is Disc 4, so we will talk about that then. Really, the kind of only last thing you can do if you've done everything that we've discussed at this point up in the podcast, the last place you got is Trino. So let's go to Trino. We did just get a new Stellazio. I can't remember if we returned after whatever the one was in Limplum, but that would have been 9, and that was the 20,000 gil. And then the new one that we just got with Capricorn is 10, and so you will get the Rosetta Ring. So it's, you should already have at least one, I think. So it's, you know, nothing new, but it is a really good ring. And then really kind of the only other thing here is that Monster House. It's kind of going to be, you know, really your last opportunity to do this before going on to Disc 4. So you can fight. It's called the Amduceus. And Well,
Yeah.
I don't know. I just use Zidane because I got all the new equipment for him, right? I'm like, all right, new weapon, here we go, you know. And he's already got auto haste mastered and stuff. And you can toss on, it is a flying thing, so you can toss on bird killer if you really want to. Dude, he killed it in like 3 hits. Granted, one was a crit, but you know, it was really easy, to be honest.
Yeah, I fought him too. Honestly, I think I just put on like MP attack, and I'm not really sure what this guy's classification is, like whether he's a bird or a demon or a
Yeah,
beast or
seriously.
whatever. I put on a whole bunch of those, and yeah, I think I like one-shotted him, to be honest, or
Yeah.
something like that. So almost even easier than all of the previous
Yeah,
monster
seriously.
house.
Yeah, I mean, he only has like 6,000 health, which that's not much. He can use, I think his biggest hardest hitting ability would be level 4 holy, but again,
Yeah.
if your level's not divisible by 4, it won't hit you. So
And
other than that, it's just Horn, Bio, and Thundara, which none of those are
yeah.
particularly like something to worry about.
And he doesn't use L4 Holy all that much at all. But aside from that, anyways, the prize for winning this is running shoes again.
Yes.
And what's different from this one, from the ones we talked about earlier with the clock, this is actually missable. So you definitely want to do this before the end of disc three.
Yeah, because it will switch to Disc 4's monster, right? Which, of course, we will
Right.
get to on Disc 4. But
Yep.
if you have done all of this, you are just about almost already done with all the side stuff in the entire game. So that's kind of crazy. You know, we're not even until, you know, quote unquote, the end game. And, you know, here we are. We finished up a lot of the stuff. But regardless, we will continue on in the story. And of course, there's not a whole lot left on the next episode. So we thank you so much for hanging out with us and listening to our episode, supporting us. Of course, that is the best way to support us, is just, you know, listening to our episodes. We're really glad, you know, we're growing, and we're just kind of really excited that people like the podcast, you know? I mean, that kind of makes it easier
Yeah.
to do and more fun to do, of course. And, you know, we're enjoying it, but it's always more enjoyable when others are enjoying it as well.
Yeah, exactly. And we're liking all of the interaction on our Instagram posts and things
Yes.
like that. You know, we always just put pretty much, you know, little clips or pictures from our playthroughs. So
Yep.
we're really enjoying it, and we appreciate you guys.
Yes. So yeah, stop by the Instagram, same handle, and then check that out. Also, you can go to Final Stop for FinalFantasyTalks.com. Very, very long, you know, URL, but hey, there you go. And it essentially just has a little bit more info there about the podcast. You can look at our bios, you know, you can read the blog, see the kind of extra stuff there, and you can also listen to the episodes on it as well if you just so choose. But other than that, I think that will do it for us. So we will see you next time. I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.